Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Chronicles with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 1 Chronicles chapter 22, where we see that sometimes we can find ourselves in a spiritual slump. And in today's study, Pastor Dave encourages the believer in this state to stand up, get to your feet, and respond to God's call on your life. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Chronicles chapter 22.
Wisdom is the right application of knowledge and understanding, okay? It's the drip from the head to the heart. It's that 12-inch drop, right? Knowledge, understanding is textbook smart. Like, I know how to do the math problem. I know the formula. I get it. The heart, wisdom, street smarts, okay? You need both. If you just got head knowledge, you're never going to make it in this world. If you just got street smarts, you're always going to be conniving. You're always going to be scheming. You need both. The Bible speaks about both. God is going to give to Solomon wisdom, right application of knowledge, and understanding. It's a gift from God. But you can never separate, listen, these things apart from what he says next in verse 12. As long as you give charge concerning Israel, that you might keep the law of the Lord your God. Okay? You can't separate. These things are married. Wisdom and knowledge comes from the Word of God. If you want wisdom and knowledge tonight, okay, if you're here and you're lacking, the Father says this to you, get in the Word. Get in the Word. Here he's speaking of the written law of the Lord, the law of Moses. That's the Word of God. For you and I here tonight, you can't get wisdom and knowledge if you're not in the Word of God. You got to get into the Word, let the Word get into you, and you'll have the knowledge and the wisdom that you need to know what you need to do. If you're lacking tonight, if you're lost, if you've been making bad decisions, if you're constantly faltering and falling, get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God get back into you once again. Let it cleanse you. Let it heal you. Let it direct you. Let it guide you. That's the key. You can't get these characteristics from the Lord apart from His Word. There is no easy way. Then you shall prosper if you take heed to fulfill the statutes and the judgments, verse 13, which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel, and that is this: be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. Now, he says, my son, behold, in my trouble, remember, he's a seasoned warrior, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold. Are you ready? That's over 3,700 tons of gold. 3,700. It's 3,750 tons of gold. And I have prepared for you 1,000 talents of silver. You know what that is? That's 1,000,000 talents of silver. That equates to 37,500 tons of silver. God used David's buddy's hands. He got it from, it's the booty of the enemy. He got it from beating people up, taking, subduing the heathen nations around them. You think about the amount here of treasure that he provides. Again, 3,750 tons of gold, 37,500 tons of silver, and of brass and iron, end of verse 14, without weight. There was not even a weight to be given because there's so much. For it is in abundance. Timber also and stone, I did it. Here's the word again. I prepared it, that you might have it for yourself. Moreover, there are workmen. I already hired the union guys. I already got the electricians, the plumbers, the masons. I already did it. There's already workers in abundance. Hewers, workers of stone, timber, all manner of cunning men for every manner of work, of the gold, of the silver, of the brass, of the iron. There's no number, he says. Arise therefore. Here's a word of the Lord for some of you here tonight. Back to application. Watch it. Ready? Here it goes. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Underline it. Do squigglies underneath it. Highlight it, date it, mark it. Listen to what the Lord says. Arise, you got to get up. You got to stop staying in your stoop, your slumber. You got to get up. You got to get to your feet. God's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. You've got to respond to his call tonight. You got to arise. Get out of the depression. Get out of the funk. Get out of the darkness, that dark closet space the devil's constantly trying to seek to push you down into. You got to get out of bed. You got to get out of bed. You got to get out of bed and brew some coffee and open your Bible and sit before the throne of Jesus Christ. You got to arise. Okay, the Lord's not going to arise you for you. You got to arise. Arise, he says, and be doing. Don't you like that? Listen to the tenses. Get going. Get going, he's saying. Solomon, you got to arise. Guys, you got to arise. He needs your help. My son needs your help. Everything's been done. The greater David says that to you and I tonight. Everything's been done. The gates of hell can't prevail. They won't prevail. Listen, everything's already been purchased by the blood. He's already done it all. Everything is yes and amen in him. But you got to do it. Now get up and do it. Be doing. And the Lord be with you. That's the guarantee of your success. The Lord's with you. The Lord's with you. Right? The Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. Right? The Lord is with you. He's with you. Now go. Go do what he's asked you to do. Arise and get going. No more excuses. No more talking about the lineage you come from, how messed up your dad is and your granddad and your grandmother and your ethnicity and the culture you come from and the upbringing you had. Stop with the upbringing you had. We all had crazy upbringings. We all got our stories. All of our parents had, wait till your parents, the most condemning job in the world. No one's got it nailed down. Everybody had dysfunction. Everybody had experiences. Everybody's got that uncle. Everybody's got that relative. We all are very similar to each other. No more. Stop. If anybody had a dysfunction card to pull, it was Solomon. No doing it. Get up and get going. Well, I'm a first-generation Christian. Nobody else in my whole family loves the Lord. In fact, they make fun of me for it. That's okay. The Lord's got to start somewhere. Rahab. Rahab. It's got to be a first-generation Christian in every family. If God said that he's going to make you it, he must have seen you fit to be that person to make the impact. You're going to be listen, if you're a lady, you're the matriarch. If you're a guy, you're the patriarch of Christianity in your family. What a privilege. My parents are the matriarch and patriarch of Christianity in my family on both sides. It's amazing. And it gets stronger as it goes. The heritage gets richer. Start it. Start the trend. Start the trend in your family. Doesn't matter if your siblings aren't walking with Jesus. Doesn't matter if your parents don't know Jesus. You be that person that knows Jesus and arise and be doing. The Lord is with you. David also commanded all the princes. We got three verses left. Those are the civil leaders. That's the government. He commands, verse 17, all the civil leaders of Israel to help Solomon his son. Because the main man needs help. He can't do it all. No man can do everything by himself. Is not the Lord our God, your God, with you? And has he not given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now, verse 19, here it is. Here's our closing exhortation. First thing I want you to do, he says, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God, okay? Again, make it personal tonight. Everybody, let's do this together. If you're already doing it, let's do it better. Let's do it greater. First thing he says, set your heart. Set your heart. That means give your heart. It means yield your heart. Come on, let me see some pens and pencils writing things. We all say it's so hard to walk with Jesus. How do I do it? Listen to Bible studies. That's how you do it. Set your heart. Give your heart. Give your heart to the things of the Lord. Yield your heart. Watch this definition in Hebrew. It means to appoint your heart. You got to go and you got to give it your heart when you leave here tonight. Get in your car, get in your truck, get in your bed, wherever you're headed to tonight. Get some quiet time. And you got to literally like sit before the Lord and you got to be deliberate. I'm going to appoint my heart tonight. Just like Joshua said to the nation, choose ye this day whom you are going to serve. No more excuses. No more blaming. Well, if I had a more godly wife, be a more godly husband. Maybe you'll have a more godly wife. If I had this or I had that, forget it. No more. You and Jesus, he's with you. Be doing. The Lord is with you. You don't need a husband. You don't need a father. You don't need it. You got Jesus. The Lord is with you. Set your heart. Go appoint your heart tonight to set itself, its affections, and its attention on the Lord. Appoint your heart. Tell your heart to do it. Don't give in to your heart's lashing out to you of what it wants you to do. Put your heart in check to Almighty God. Set your heart. Give your heart to the Lord. We all got a civil war inside of us. We all got two dogs, a beautiful dog and an ugly dog. Whatever dog you feed is going to devour the other. It's a civil war. You got to choose. The members of your flesh, they're not going anywhere. Stop asking God to change. You know, we always, I asked him if he doesn't want me to be with that person, he'd take him out of my life. Or if God didn't want me to do this, that he'd change my heart. No. You have to daily crucify your flesh. It ain't going anywhere. It doesn't get annihilated. You can't get rid of it. It's going to be with you. That's why it's not heaven. You're going to battle all the way home, but battle for goodness sakes. Like battle, wrestle, fight it out. You're going to battle. I'm going to battle. Every day there's going to be something we're repenting over. But battle, repent, get right before God. When we get to heaven, no more sin. Right now, tons of sin. And we just got to battle. And you got to appoint your heart every day. Dave, you're not doing that. You're not going to do that to that person on the road. You're not going to respond in that text the way that you want to. You're not going to look the way that you just looked again. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. Appoint your heart. Talk to yourself. You're going to go teach that Bible study tonight. Doesn't matter if you don't want to go teach that Bible study tonight. Doesn't matter if you don't feel worthy. Doesn't matter if you've already failed so bad. You're going to go. You're going to do it. I've asked you to do it. Now do it. Now tell your heart it's going to do it. Get your heart in the place where it is surrendered to God. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. If we're all in a big class right now getting instructed by our aerobic instructor, and he tells us to do 50 push-ups, and you want to get on your knees and stop doing push-ups when he turns his back, that's your loss. And me banging them out isn't going to benefit you at all. You want to do it, you got to put in the work. God's saying that to you. I've done everything I can do, but listen, I can't push you up and pick you up, There's no benefit in that. You got to sweat. Maybe you got to bleed a little bit. There's got to be some of that if you're really going to get the gains that God wants you to get. So appoint your heart. Appoint your heart. It's a labor, though. I want to be really real with you in these closing moments. It's a labor. It's never going to get easier. It's only going to get harder. It doesn't get easier. The more that you do it, the longevity of Christianity, it gets hard. So stay close to Christians. Stay close to Jesus. Stay in his word. Stay in prayer. And keep giving your heart. Seek the Lord. Then number two, arise, he says, verse 19, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God. Build the house of God, man. Build the kingdom. Do stuff for God. Do stuff for the Lord. Some of you tonight, you got to start serving. It's time. You got to start serving. Others of you, you got to keep, you're still in the first phase. And you guys got to get before the Lord and let the Lord distinguish that for you. Some of you, you just got to keep, you're not there yet. You're still pointing your heart. Your heart's giving you a heck of a time. It's a battle right now. Okay, so then you deal with that part. You stay there. First, you got to sit before you can serve. But some of you have been sitting so long, now the Lord says this to you, get up. Go build the sanctuary. Go be a laborer at Calvary. This is your home? Let's go. Let's build this place. Let's do some things for the glory of God. These are the last days. It's very obvious. These are the last days. We are at the end, I believe, of the age of grace. Let's get busy for the kingdom. Let's go do what God's called us to do with all that we have. It's time to arise and to build the sanctuary, build the house of God. And then thirdly, he says this, bring the ark, that's the presence, bring the presence of God, or the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of God. Of the Lord. Bring the presence of God to its proper place so that people could experience what you've experienced. That's the cycle. And that's the cycle. You can't skip any of them that keeps you from drying up. It's the cycle that keeps you from getting crusty. It's the cycle that sort of keeps that fire burning in your heart. You making sure that you are walking with Jesus. Okay? You reading the word. You praying, you staying with Christians, you got to hang with Christians. Everybody with me? I'm going to ask for a little bit of response right now. I need to know if you're with me. Amen? You got to hang with Christians. If you don't hang with Christians and you keep hanging with your worldly friends, you're not going to walk with Jesus. If you read your Bible and you pray and then you get dressed and go out on Friday night, you're not going to walk with Jesus. You're not going to the bar and witnessing. You're not going to the club and telling people about Jesus. No missionary dating, okay? Ain't going to work. It's way easier to be pulled down than it is to pull people up. Contact all contamination. Don't get rid of those people in your life. Keep them in your life. Just safe boundaries in terms of friendship. Be careful. Be really careful. Hang with people that are going to lift you closer to God. Set your heart, appoint your heart. Secondly, serve. When it's time and God tells you to do it, serve. And then keep serving. You want to know something? It blesses others, but it keeps you accountable. If you got to be here at 6 to serve in the cafe, now all of a sudden, it don't matter if it's dark and cold in February and you can't stay home. People are depending on you. You got to come and you got to open the doors so that you're smiling when new people walk in. There's this, you got to be here. I hate to say it that way, but there's that obligation. It gets you here sometimes. When it's been weeks and months and years, it stacks up. It gets hard. So service keeps you grounded. And it gives you fellowship. Oh, this is a big church. No one talks to me. Start serving. You'll start to get to know people in the realm that you serve. How do you want us to talk to everybody? It's impossible. And also, too, while I'm in the middle of arguing with myself, I'll say this, that those who want friends must show themselves friendly. So you want some friends, show yourself friendly and serve and get to know the people in the ministry, the realm that you're serving with. And now all of a sudden you got a little niche. So when you walk in, like, you've got a huddle to go to. Serve. Keeps you grounded. And then tell people about Jesus. If you don't do that third and final one, I promise you this, let this stick with you. You will dry up and get crusty. You got to evangelize. What do I do for a living? Tell people about Jesus. It's not the same though. This doesn't count. This doesn't count. It doesn't do for me what organic one-on-one conversations do. It doesn't. This isn't it. This is like teaching the Bible, and I got a little bit of an evangelistic spirit in me, so it comes out, and sometimes, like on Sunday at second service, a bunch of people get saved. That's cool, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like when I'm at the gym, when I'm at the store, when I'm at a family party, and something gets said, like last week when this guy goes to me out of nowhere when no one else is around. You told the story last week. They already know the whole thing. You took my thunder. Okay, you're done teaching. This guy says to me, in the very beginning, I don't know if you said how it started, but he just says, I'll just say the first part. He says, you're a man of God. He says, what do you do with Kobe Bryant's death? Foot is in the door. I get to just go. Like, that's just he threw me a softball right down the center of the plate. Like, I just get to start explaining things. The Holy Spirit fell, and for an hour straight, I witnessed this guy. I left there with more joy than I could have had from sitting there reading my Bible for 6 hours. Because something happens when you let it out. You got to let it out. If you don't let it out, you know what happens? You get, I don't know why I'm doing it with my legs. I have no clue. There's so much going through my brain. I'm trying to do so much. But what I was trying to show you is you get like fat. You get spiritual. I don't know what I'm doing with my shirt either. I'm just going to keep preaching. I'm just trying to make it look, yeah, I'm good. So you get spiritually fat. You get like a fat sheep. And it becomes very pharisaical. It's just sitting here and giving me more Bible knowledge so I could beat other people over the head with it and argue with Christians about doctrine. You're supposed to take this and go to the highways and the byways and the places where I can't go, don't get to go, or don't get to be received. People that aren't going to come in here and hear it, they won't come. They will not come here. But they're stuck with you in the cubicle. They're stuck with you at the lunch table. They're your relative. They're your neighbor. So they're going to hear it from you. And you know what happens? Healthy sheep beget sheep. You don't got to market. I don't got to put a Calvary Westside thing on a billboard on 390. Yous do it. You be the billboard. You go and let Jesus use you to be the hands and feet, the extension of his love. If you don't, you'll dry up. Amen? I don't know. You guys are clapping a lot. I don't know if that's just like, now you're done, but I'll be done. I'm going to take that as a cue. Let me pray for you that God would strengthen us. Would you come? We can't do anything apart from his might or his power. So just know that. And it'd be awfully cruel of him to ask us to without the anointing of the Spirit. So let's just close our service tonight. We'll sing. These guys will lead us in a song. You just doing Come the Thirsty song? Is that the one you're going to do? Well, no? Can you do it? That's good. Yeah, I think we should do that. Let's do that. And let's ask the Holy Spirit just to fall on us. I just messed the band up, so I have to ask for forgiveness again. God, just thank you. You use such, I don't even, sometimes I just don't even know how you do it. You take us, God, as we are. And you're nothing like any master in this world. There's so much pressure for a man. We got to perform, and we got to have all the answers. And Lord, there's so much expectation from man to man. But then we come to you, and we sort of bring that thinking into our relationship with you, but you so quickly set us straight, and you show us, God, that there's nothing we could bring. We're like Abraham's servants that he told at Mount Moriah, stay here, it's business that needs to be done between me and my son, there's nothing you can add. We're like those guys, where there's nothing we can add. We're like the guys, Lord, that are at the base of Mount Moriah waiting for our master and his son to come back down. We got nothing. And Lord, yeah, we take our lives tonight, at least I do, I can't speak for everybody. But if they want to join me in this, Lord, we take our lives tonight and we afresh lay them at the foot of the cross. And we plead your blood over us, God. We ask you to cleanse us and forgive us of our sins, the things that we know that we do wrong and the things that we don't even know we're doing wrong, God. We get carried away. We get excited. We tell a stupid joke or we act in a way that we shouldn't act, Lord. We don't even mean to do it and we just do it because we're sinners. Please forgive us tonight, God, of our sins. Please help us to set our hearts toward you. Lord, I don't want to have a divided heart. We don't want to have a divided heart. The things that are pulling for our attention, Lord, that guy or that girl or that image or that substance or money or whatever it is, God, that's pulling so hard at our heartstrings, God, tonight we pray that you loosen those grips so that we can fully yield our hearts and souls to you, that we would be used to build your kingdom, God, that you'd show us where you want us to serve. Show us what our lane is that we're to stay in tonight. And then, God, help us to tell the world about you. This world is perishing, and it needs to know about Jesus. So I pray for empowerment to tell the world about you. We're thirsty, God, and we've come here to drink tonight. So, Lord, as we sing this closing song to you, we pray that you would satisfy our souls in the deepest parts of our being. We give you the glory and the honor, Lord. You're worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing this last song to the Lord.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.